It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Hello, hello. Welcome back into the pod. I'm the dude that's podcast name is on it. That would be Jim Day. Hi, how you doing, people? Today, you know, last podcast, we had Alon Leishman on. Incredible journey. We had Fernando Cruz, incredible journey to the big leagues. And now another unusual journey to the big leagues. He's on the Red staff. And I would like to introduce you to Joe Singley. How we doing, Joe?
What's going on, Jim? How are you?
I'm good. Now, you're on the Red staff. Now, officially, bullpen catcher, which I kind of hate that term because there's so much more involved than just being... It makes it sound like he's just down there to catch.
Right.
Warm guys up. That's it. That's all he does. Now, you're here at like 9 in the morning and on the staff, working with catchers, obviously, and pitchers, and you have to be available for a lot of guys. And just, I guess, explain what a bullpen coach does just to get started. And by the way, we're going to talk about an initiative that Joe has going on that I'm very much behind. And that we'll all bring it together in this conversation. But first, we should start with a bullpen catcher, what he does.
Sweet. So I'm in a pretty unique role here, pretty blessed with J.R. House and David and the staff bringing me on. So initially, they brought me on for the catching, mainly to help J.R. and our catchers with all the catching work. And that role fit the title bullpen catcher. So for me personally, I'll get here early. I'll do some reports, look at some minor league film too. Work with Corky a lot, Corky Miller, and do a lot of catching reports for help him out with the minor league side and then the big league side.
We got a Corky Miller mentioned. We're already off to a good start.
Yeah, Corky's the
man. I'm going to move this mic this side. You're speaking at me. There we go. Yeah.
Sweet.
I should have done that first. We got a Corky Miller mentioned. This is good. Sorry, go ahead.
Corky's the man. So I do reports. I get here early in the morning. I'll do some post-game reports, watch a lot of film. In college, I did biomechanics. I studied kinesiology. So I geek out on all that. So do some edits for JR there for some catching things on the technical side. And then I'll go into PitchCom, make sure that's all working. As you can see, there's been some sprays for that across the league. But
I got to write that down, PitchCom, because I got to remember to ask you about that. That's a
funny story. So PitchCom is is one of my roles too. So I'll knock all that out, and then the Reds catching, which is J.R. House, started the Instagram account and the Twitter for Reds. So whatever content he would like on there, I'll knock that out for him. And then I normally work with the catchers pregame early, and then I go into the actual bullpen duty of throwing with the pitchers, playing catch with them, catching the sides. Then when that ends, then we go into some more meetings, prepare the catchers with their routines, give them their catcher cards, go over the reports again, talk to them about the pitcher or whatever it may be. If there's any tips or if there's anything that, you know, like yesterday, I don't think Ty had caught Brett Kennedy, so I had to talk to him a little bit about Brett, and then going to the game. And then during the game, it's simple. You're handling the pitch com, making sure guys are ready, helping them prep to face what hitters they're going to face, and then just being there for them and obviously catching.
Yeah. It's a fascinating role to me, and we will get into there's shenanigans that are going on down there in the bullpen all the time, which I love. I mean, it's a good group down there. I want to get into that. I want to get into some particular Reds players, but your journey to get here is so unusual. This doesn't happen. It's almost like a fairy tale. So let's backtrack and go back to this. How many years ago before this Instagram was what got you here, right?
Right.
Which is incredible. Backtrack to right before all that happened and set it up of before the initial journey started to become a Cincinnati Red.
Cool. So out of high school, I went to Tulane University. And my first semester there, my coaching staff left. And I ended up getting hurt pretty bad. So I was a catcher there. Tulane, I loved it. The staff left. I ended up getting hurt. So I was left at a crossroads there. Do I follow the new staff? Do I stay here? Whatever. And for some medical reasons, I ended up opting out and went to junior college. So at that time, to go to D1 to D1, you had to go junior college first.
Yeah.
So I went to Indian River State College from there in Florida. Ended up getting two shoulder reconstructions right off the rip.
Goodness.
So didn't get to play in any games there at all. So then rehabbed back to what seemed to be promising health. So then I got Coastal. I wanted to go to Coastal Carolina. Kevin Schnall is their catching coach, and him and I are really, really close to this day. We pretty much talk every day. So I wanted to go there specifically for him, and they had just won the national championship. So Myrtle Beach, I was really excited. Probably the first month there, I ended up getting collarbone reconstruction. So that put me out for, let's think, maybe 5-6 months. So in the process of rehabbing that, came off again, my collarbone. So it's called a sternoclavicular joint.
Ouch.
Yeah.
It hurts me to think about that, having someone that's had shoulder surgery. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, so not many people know what that joint is, but it's a little specific joint. Okay, it obviously is the medial end of your collarbone and connects to your manubrium. So basically kind of up where your trachea is, in that kind of area. So that came off, so they had to do like a figure eight graft, almost like a Tommy John, with my collarbone and like the end of my manubrium, which is it's a little piece right here at the top. So they did that, and then so
I'm
the process
familiar.
Of that,
see this bone right there?
Yeah.
That's pushed out about that far.
Wow, yeah. So right in there.
Back.
Yeah, right there.
Very familiar.
That's awesome.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So I rehabbed back, and I felt better than ever. I was stronger than ever. I mean, I kind of olayed a lot of the medical recommendations to, you know, not work out, not throw, and just kind of was like, you know what, I've been through all this and nothing's going to stop me. Just really tunnel vision, kept working, didn't lose my faith at all. And I got back to full health, was actually stronger than ever, could throw harder than ever. And then my dad was diagnosed with cancer. This is in the fall of 2018. So I went to spring. I was at Coastal in spring 19, and then I dropped out for the fall of 2019. So dropped out, took care of him. He was in our living room from August of 2019 till October 23rd when he passed away. So just pretty much just taking care of him, and you know, he was on oxygen. And from August to October there, they said he could pass away at any second from a multitude of different complications from the cancer itself. So that was a grind, but it was a blessing the way that everything went down, and he would have Bible studies, and it was great. It was great being with him there, and I'm thankful, obviously, for him and everything he did, and that floods into the foundation, which we'll get to later. But so I go back to school, and I'm ready to play. I'm ready to go, and I was academically ineligible. So we filed an appeal and was like, hey, you know, how can a kid who just had four consecutive shoulder surgeries and then put his dad in a body bag, how can he not? Yeah. How is he not eligible to play? It doesn't make any sense. Appeal got denied. So now I'm up in arms, like, dude, I want to go play. I'm healthy. I'm ready to go.
Ugh.
So
especially with the rules now, it's so easy to just transfer somewhere.
Right? Like
not even take classes for a year and go pro. Anyways.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go NAIA, or I'm going to go play independent ball. Like, you know, I can play. I know I can play, and I want to do it. And Kevin Schnall at Coastal Carolina, he started coaching at a very young age. He was like, you know, you're very passionate about this, and you've got a lot of knowledge that I think you need to share, and I think now would be a good time to kind of get the ball rolling. And the way he kind of persuaded me or convinced me to do it was, he's like, how about this? How about you start it going while you get your degree here, and then when you finish that, then you can go play. So, you know, kind of almost a father-son connection there, him and I have. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever, right? So I kept training to play and then started putting out a little bit of the content, or just, you know, kind of just showing a little bit of what I would do with our catchers there at Coastal. Kevin kind of gave me the reins there, which was awesome. Really, really took me under his wing and let me go. And then Tyler Stevenson DM'd me through Instagram and asked, you know, if I was in South Carolina, if we could do some work in the off season. So I was like, yeah, I mean, of course. So this time I'm still a student. So being from just outside Philadelphia, I wanted to go
watch. He just wanted someone to throw with at that point, right? I'm sorry to interrupt, but he, just to give context, did he want someone to throw with? He saw your videos on Instagram?
Yeah, he saw the videos and he just, you know, wanted to get some work in the off season.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I mean, of course. I was obviously honored and excited. So I went to see him play in Philadelphia. I went and saw him play three different times because I wanted to see him play live and obviously watch the film. And then before we went into the off season, just to have, you know, some more knowledge of him and just, you know, try to help him the best I could that off season. So anyway, I went and watched him play and I'm leaning over the railing, just watching him warm up with JR, and JR kept staring at me. And, you know, I was on the borderline of asking him, you know, what he's looking at in a Philadelphia type manner. And he was like, hey, are you Joe Singley? And I was like, yeah, yeah, I am. So he said, you know, what are you doing when you graduate? And I told him I didn't know where I was eating next. And he just laughed and he wanted
to. Were you being serious?
Yeah, he wanted to.
You were broke?
No, I mean, yeah. Kind of. But, you know, just meaning I'm just really simple kid. So he, I met up with him after the game there, and then I flew to Miami, watched him play again, met up with him and DJ. We talked a lot, and then we just stayed in touch on the phone. I flew to St. Louis, watched Tyler catch again, talked a lot with JR, met with DJ, and then last year they made a role for me. It was called the Major League Coach Intern.
Right. I remember that, where you were kind of on the staff, but pseudo not on the staff.
Yeah, so that was like, that's not a real thing, and JR made it happen to have me here and to be able to help him out, and, you know, it was incredible. I got to go everywhere, the Field of Dreams, and got to play, you know, a large part in our catching, you know, department. So right. I was pumped, and then this offseason, obviously, it turned into the full-time role.
Why did J.R. House have interest in you? Was it what Tyler told him about you? Was it the videos like that were on Instagram?
Yeah, so Tyler, at the time, to my knowledge, the way they reacted, Tyler hadn't told him that he knew me at all. So it was all just the Instagram videos, which is just basically, again, geeking out on biomechanics and just...
Was that what they were, biomechanic videos, instructional type stuff for catchers?
Yep, just breaking down the different biomechanics of catching and, you know, the do's and don'ts and the benefits and consequences of certain things. And then some systematic programming on there, like drill design, you know, how to get from point A to B. And, you know, that's really why I'm here, is the niche with the catching thing.
That's unbelievable. I mean, seriously, think about that. Instagram biomechanical instructional videos got you on a big league staff. How old are you?
25.
That's incredible. Do you ever stop and think, wow, that's, I mean.
My buddies tell me all the time, but, you know, when you're here every day and you're so passionate and you got work or something to do or something you want to get better at, you don't really think about it. But
do you know how many people want to be on a major league staff that have been grinding in the minor leagues?
Yeah, probably a lot.
Yeah, I mean, granted, and it is a grind. You put in as many hours as anyone on the staff, maybe more for all your duties, because when I asked you to do this podcast, and I'm like, what time do you get there? You're like, 9 a.m. Like, for a night game? So how much of a grind has it been? Have you been living the dream?
Yeah, for me, it's the dream. I mean, I watch catching videos all day long, and, you know, that's all I think about when I'm watching the game. I'm watching the catcher the whole entire time. So for me, it's the dream. And then being here with, you know, we're blessed with such amazing people. Last year, we had 7 different catchers roll through, but this year we got 3, but again, they're all phenomenal humans. And then throughout the organization too, like I mentioned, Corky already, our coordinator, you know, just everyone kind of welcoming me. And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. It's been a huge blessing here. Everyone's taking me in under the wing, and it's been incredible.
All right, I'm going to try this. He has no idea that I'm doing this, but I'm going to try to call J.R. House. Oh, I hope he answers. Come on, JR.
Hello.
JR House.
What are you doing?
You are live on a podcast with Joe Singley.
Oh, no. I'm getting ambushed right now. I'm in the middle of Walgreens.
You're getting like, ambushed.
Buying shaving cream.
You're in the middle of Walgreens and shaving cream?
Yeah.
No, people won't notice at all that you're talking on a podcast. It's okay. There's not weird people in Walgreens at all. It'll be fine.
No, it's awesome. Downtown's great.
Now, listen, I appreciate you picking up, but we're going through the story of you noticing Joe Singley and this path to him getting here. Can I ask you quickly what you saw and why? Why were you so interested when he was looking over the rail at Tyler Stevenson?
Let's see. There was it kind of started before that, as far as him, you know, having the social media following that he had, and I liked the content that he put out. Thought it was really well done. I thought it was accurate, which is, you know, kind of a rarity for Twitter feeds and Instagram stuff. So I wanted to get to know him a little bit more. Tyler knew him. He kind of vetted him and really vouched for him. So we got to know him a couple of times in Philly, came to Miami, got to hang out a little bit. Just really liked him. I liked his story. I liked his background. The players really liked him, you know, so I think they're the biggest BS detectors in the world. So
they are.
If they're in, you know, then there's a good chance that I'm going to be in as well. So, you know, all that kind of came to a head and it worked out really well.
Has he lived up to expectations?
You know, occasionally he comes through, you know. I don't have to beat up on him too bad. But no, we have a nice like chemistry of pitching guys, you know, kind of throughout the organization. He blends right in and he's made us better for sure.
Joe, this is your opportunity to publicly thank J.R. House for giving you your dream job.
No, here it is.
Yeah, this is it.
No, he already knows that.
I appreciate you picking up and giving us further insight into that. I won't take away from your Walgreens time because that's
it. You're just staring at me in the middle of Walgreens. It's great. No problem.
I love that. I appreciate you picking up. Thank you.
Okay.
See
you. Y'all have a good day. See you. Bye.
It's the way this podcast is, man. That's spontaneous. Awesome. I just wanted to get further. I mean, so you had a following. He said you had a following on like catchers, obviously.
Yeah.
Baseball peeps.
Catchers. A couple big league guys on there, some minor league dudes, but I mean, I didn't think any of this would come from it. I just innocently was just posting stuff and just following, you know, Kevin Schnall's instruction at Coastal, and you know, there's a plan for everything, and I'm just grateful that landed up here.
And when you came up here, there was a bunch of T-shirts that said "Singly Strong," and we're going to talk about that and some Reds players when we come back. All right, we're back with Joe Singley and his amazing story of getting here. All right, now, the Singley Strong shirts, which was a few years back, right?
Right.
When those started. Explain those.
So Singley Strong is the foundation, nonprofit 501c I started when my dad had cancer. So when he had cancer, you know, it's I had to drop out of school, obviously. My mom couldn't work. I couldn't work. It was all hands on deck. He was in the living room. Like I stated before, he could die any minute. So chemo, radiation, you know, all the immunotherapies, all the experimental drugs that you have to do that cost so much money. And then being able to pay bills when you're not working and then, you know, finding a way to eat, like all that's super hard. And then the funeral itself, like the funeral, the aftermath, you know, still getting bills, like things like that. The reality of experience in her battling cancer is tough, and you know, there's a lot of foundations out there which are great, and a lot go to research, but you know, unfortunately thus far the research hasn't, you know, touched as many people that are currently experiencing cancer as, you know, we hope it does in the future. So I wanted to create something that kind of helped people in the now. So Singly Strong Foundation is almost like a Make-A-Wish type, to where you help, you know, people that are experiencing extremely traumatic and tough situations right now, and just kind of trying to show them God's love and just reach out to them and kind of bless them and let them know that we're here. So we financial assistance. So, I mean, that may be, you know, you've got cancer and all of a sudden, you know, $3,000 worth of your bills are paid or whatever it may be. Or, you know, you've got terminal cancer and, you know, you guys are going to Disney World and not paying a dime. So it's there to help you live the best life you can now and enjoy it. And then also like, hey, Jeff Ruby's tonight, you know, dress up nice and go forget about things and go enjoy it. So just kind of wanted to create something to help the people that are struggling, you know, and battling this horrible disease. And even if it's for one night or for a week or whatever it may be, just getting away from, you know, the reality of all that and kind of like enjoying the now. Because when you're battling that, it not only affects the patient, you know, obviously more than everyone else, but, you know, the family, it takes a toll on them. You feel horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a whole different mental rabbit hole you can jump down. So just kind of letting everybody know that, you know, we're all in this together. That's kind of why I started it.
Well, I can relate, and it's, I don't know if near and dear to my heart is the right phrase, but I lost my father to cancer in my 20s as well. Mm. So it was very tough. So how can people get involved with Singly Strong? Where can they get more information? Where can they donate?
So the singlystrongfoundation.org is the website. We just got up and running. It's been tough. It's just been me and my mom, and she's working her butt off too. It's been tough recovering from the loss, but obviously extremely blessed and grateful to be here. This is kind of our spark plug right now that I have this opportunity and extremely stoked. But with that being said, it's just been us two trying to get this thing running. So finally off the ground, we've got our first golf outing in Delaware this October, but September 5th here, we're going to have the Singly Strong Foundation night. So I think I'm going to have 250 kids from the Children's Hospital that are experiencing cancer right now, have their families come. They're going to do a walk around the field pre-game, just, you know, enjoy it, just step on the grass. And
that's awesome. That's September 5th. Who are we playing that day?
Seattle, September 5th.
Mariners going. Gino will be back.
Oh, yeah.
September 5th. So that is great. Now, see, I knew you were having a night, but I didn't know that you're having the kids from the Children's Hospital there going through it right now. That's awesome. Just the spelling of your name, just so that they know where to go.
S-I-N-G-L-E-Y.
L-E-Y.
Yep, single with a Y.
Yeah, Singly Foundation dot Singly Strong.
Yep, the Foundation. Singly Strong Foundation.org.
The Singly Strong Foundation.org. Please, ladies and gentlemen, check it out. And I can't wait for the kids to be here
on
that night. That's tremendous. And you're just getting it going, and I'm glad we can help out. And I hope people are listening and will get involved, because having gone through it, it is such a tough time when a loved one is going through that. And to make those days and even those hours and minutes the best you possibly can, I think is very admirable, and it's a great foundation. So I wish you the best in it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Couldn't agree more.
Singly Strong. I loved the t-shirts too that I saw. I mean, when players are wearing shirts, you know, it just goes a long way, especially with social media nowadays. If you've got Votto or Ellie De La Cruz wearing a t-shirt, I mean, it's huge. Right.
Yeah, it goes a long way.
So you have to feel good about you. J.R. House mentioned it. You have a tremendous relationship with these players. It's obvious you're in their age range, which is unusual because most coaches are a little older.
Right.
And you get to hang with these guys, and that is where I'm going next. Because I look on social media, I see you out with McLean, with Ellie, others. And my favorite pictures, of course, were at Disney World. Disneyland. Oh, it was Disneyland.
I was Disneyland, yeah.
Okay, now, I'm probably catching off guard with this, but tell me about that day.
So I had never been on a roller coaster ever in my life.
And never, not once.
Not once, never. So Derek Law, Matt McLean, Alex Young, Andrew Abbott, we go to Disneyland. And yeah, little to my knowing, I was going to be on every roller coaster. And again, Disneyland's not, it's not, I mean, talking Kings Island, I looked at some of those rides. And
yeah,
I'll quit before I go on any of them. But yeah, but we went on some roller coasters at Disneyland.
There was one picture that I saw that was everyone in the picture is like, yeah, and you're holding on to Matt McClain with a terrified look on your face.
Yeah.
What ride was that?
Oh, that was, it's called the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like the Tower of Terror, but just themed Guardians of the Galaxy. That was probably the worst 2 minutes of my life.
Why?
Again, not
take us through those 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, okay, we got on the roller coaster, and again, I'm looking back at the guys like, hey, do I have to be on this? And you know, they're giggling, whatever. Which I'm extremely thankful they made me go on it. I never would have done that. They're giggling, and I'm like, yeah, guys, can I get off this thing? And the employee working the ride was like, hey, you know, are you all right? And I'm like, I mean, hold on. And I'm like, hey, do I got it? For real, am I getting on this or no? They're like, yeah, you're getting on it. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And the person's like, you want some advice? And I was like, sure. And just kind of wiggled their fingers almost like you're calling a change up and said, like, bye-bye. And the door shut, and we immediately took off in the air. And, yeah, I mean, there was nothing to grab except Matt's hand right there and arm. So I just, man, I gripped a hold of him and started screaming. Yeah, brutal. That's that picture's
awesome.
I'll never forget it. None of us will. That was awesome. They had a blast.
I've been lobbying to try to show this picture on TV to no success yet. But
none. Yeah, none yet.
No one's listening to this podcast, though. It's okay. None of the players listen. There's no feedback. It won't get to them. It's just you and I speaking here. Is it true that day that you were on one of the coasters, you said, I will absolutely not go on one that goes upside down? And they said, this is not one of those.
Yeah, so that was actually the first roller coaster that I had been on. They told me it was an easy one, you know, an easy one to get started on, and it was completely not the the one that went upside down. Little to my knowledge, as soon as the, you know, the seat thing clicked on over me, that, you know, they informed me that, hey, yeah, guess what, this is it. And again, obviously,
this is the one that goes upside down.
Yeah, again, obviously.
And you're already locked in.
Yeah, I'm freaking out, you know, making all kinds of threats to him. If I, you know, when I get off this thing, you guys are done for. But then as soon as we get off, you know, smile at him, being like, yeah, that was awesome. Thanks.
I shouldn't do a coach like that.
Yeah, I know. The age thing is cool. You know, I mean,
you're right in that wheel. You're right in there with them.
Yeah, but it honestly helps me a lot. As ironic as that may sound, you know, not having the opportunity to play pro ball or even play in college due to health reasons, being the same age and having this personal relationship with the guys allows me to actually do my job and in turn make a difference in their playing ability.
Yeah.
Because they can trust me as a human. They know I care about them. And then we have that relationship. And then that trust bleeds over to in-game and the work, and then obviously the work we do in the off season. But I mean, that's really the secret weapon for me, is being able to do that versus if I didn't have those connections, you know, and
yeah,
who's this kid off Instagram or whatever, you know,
yeah.
And then if I, you know, acted like Johnny Hardo or whatever, nobody would listen to me. So who I am as a person and the relationships that we have actually are, you know, what allows me to do what I do here.
Well, as Jer House said, you know, the BS meter, the players are, they are all over that.
Right.
And if that meter goes off, man, you're done.
Yep.
As a coach, as a player, the fact that they ask you to hang has to mean a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're all just, you know, obviously there's the fine line there, which we don't cross from, you know, the playing and the coaching side, but
yeah,
on a human level.
But when you're away from the field, we're talking about away from the field here.
No, I mean, on a human level, I feel like everybody in the clubhouse, staff, coaches, clubbies, everybody, it's just like one big family, and it's really unique to have that really anywhere, I feel like, in any workspace, much less a major league ball club. And I feel like that goes through the whole entire organization, too. I mean, really, everybody you feel like you can call at any time, or, you know, you would go any place at any time with anybody. Yeah. So it's incredible.
I've seen some pictures of you, and by the way, I don't hang with the players. There's a misconception out there, Jim does hang with the players. I don't. Really don't. It's very rare that I'm in an establishment. Sometimes we'll be out to dinner and I'll be at the same place that a group of players or you are.
Yeah, we avoid them, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. And when I do walk into a place, like, oh, God, we can't get rid of this guy. We can't shake this guy. So I don't hang with the players. Just there's misconception out there. Like, well, Joey Votto and Jim Day are best friends. No. We're professional acquaintances. That's get awesome. Along, but we don't hang. Who's your favorite guys to hang with? I see you with McLean a lot, right? McLean, one of your dudes?
Yeah, I mean, literally everybody. I mean, you can't go wrong with literally everyone. I mean, and I know it sounds so cliche, and I think Luke mentioned it yesterday before the game. I asked him, I think, who your favorite teammate is, and he said you can't pick one. But, I mean, for me, obviously they're not teammates, but, I mean, everybody in that clubhouse from staff all the way to Rick and Mark and Mort and, I mean, Colin, the bat boy, like everybody, I mean, shoot, I'd go to dinner with any of them right now. You know, they're all, it's really rare that you have that anywhere in life in general. And, you know, we've got it here. And I think that's a large part of why, you know, this year has been so magical.
Yeah. And during the game, you were obviously, as the bullpen catcher, you were in the bullpen.
Yep.
So I want to take us inside the bullpen, and we're going to do that after this. All right, Joe Singley, the Singley Strong Foundation.org. Get that in there again. Bullpen. Now, you got some characters down there, man, which I love. And it doesn't matter what team it is. I've been around for a long time. Literally, it doesn't matter if it's a 100-loss team from last year, if it's a mediocre team, if it's a playoff team. The bullpen is always a different dynamic, and there's always goofy dudes down there.
Yeah.
So who doesn't shut up?
Oh,
let's
man.
Get right into it.
I think all of us. If you go down,
oh, come
there,
on now.
Yeah, no, all of us. If you go down there, it's the culture down there, as you can just tell on TV, is really, really special. I think from Tracy being the ringleader down there.
He's the bullpen coach.
Yeah, Matt Tracy, the bullpen coach, really setting the tone with the culture down there. To everybody, even to the guys that you know, we only see maybe a couple of times a week that you know, can come up or down that fill a role. It's like immediately the second that they walk in there, it's like family. I mean, Sam Maul came in, and
right,
it's like he's been here all year. You know, it's a really unique culture, and again, top down, bottom up, just testimony to this whole organization so far.
Every time we take a shot down there, someone's laughing and someone's yapping. Now, I'm going to take a guess here, and I don't know the answer to this question. And again, it's just you and me talking. You're not, you know, don't worry about throwing anyone under the bus. They won't hear this. I would think the guy that talks the most is Alex Young. Am I wrong? Am I close?
No, not wrong, but not accurate. I think we all do a fair talk.
Oh,
you
see, being diplomatic. I knew it.
No, here comes the coach.
He's going to be diplomatic.
No. AY is the man, but definitely not the most yapper. I think it's, I think all of us are just nonstop, just talking to each other the whole entire time. And then obviously, you know, they got some feel to it when it's time to loosen up and all that and get ready to go. It's strictly business, but down there when we're just watching the game start, I mean, everybody's just communicating with everybody. That's the cool part about it. There's no clicks. You know, I mean, Diaz is messing with Farmer, and then we're all talking to each other. I mean, there's no cultural divide, no nothing there. It's just like one giant family, you know. Everybody speaking Spanish to each other, English to each other. It's really special, and you can tell that on a home run, most of that comes out.
I've told this story on TV before where someone will call a shot of and or be a kitty involved, maybe like a moon pie or something, where a guy will throw down the hat and say, next inning, I'm calling Votto. Votto's going to hit the home run.
Right.
And then if that happens, then you get the prize.
Yeah.
And we've taken some shots where, I mean, the celebrations are awesome.
Yeah, I think the best one so far was when Cruz hit it in L.A., Diaz took his shirt off, and then we all just kept rolling with it.
Started punching him a little bit,
yeah,
lightly in the stomach.
Yeah, just jab him a little bit. I mean, there's just so much excitement, obviously, for the team, and those guys down there will do anything for this organization. And then, obviously, the, you know, just calling a shot, too. There's just those bragging rights, too. Like, I told you it hit it. You know, just That's human nature. That plays a part too.
There was an Alex Young one. I think it was really good. They were bouncing in unison, up and down, back and forth and stuff. So
yeah, AY's hit a couple times.
Yeah,
he's the man.
Now the early innings, most of the time, you know, the bullpen's not going to be used until at least the fourth. There are exceptions, of course, fourth or fifth. What are those early innings like? Is that a little looser down there?
Yeah, it's loose, but everybody's locked in. As weird as it sounds, like everybody's talking, but you know, we're completely locked into the game. What's the game plan? Watching how, you know, we're pitching to certain guys, you know, watching their swings, how they're reading it, you know, following the report, seeing if we're following the report and how we're supposed to pitch this guy. And then we have some iPads down there. Guys can watch, you know, their past at bats of certain dudes. But while all that's going on, there's definitely a lot of conversing and joking, but you know, you're locked in the whole time, but we're definitely chatting it up a little bit down there, having a good time.
Now, once in a while, I look down there, and Alexis Diaz is raking the dirt for guys.
Yeah.
He just says it's his thing. Like, I see him raking all the time. What's he doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, after everyone throws, we rake it.
But he rakes it. The closer rakes it for dudes.
But, yeah, Lexi.
I love that story.
Lexi's been grabbing the rake a lot recently and telling me he can do a better job of raking it than I can. So, you know, and he's awesome. But you talk about locked in. I mean, he doesn't miss a pitch.
Who warms up the fastest?
Ooh. Alan Buznitz is a magician.
Really?
Yeah. He could probably throw three balls and go right in.
Really?
Yeah, he's a magician. Derek Law is fast. I mean, they've all done an incredible job this year. When they're called, you know, immediately they can get right in the game. But I think Booz has done some of the fastest I've ever seen.
Does anyone have any like quirks or superstitions? Like, I've got to throw this amount of pitches. I will only throw to this guy, or they'll only throw to you. Is there anything like that at all?
No, and I think that's the special part about it, is there's none of that. You know, whether it's me, Duarte, whoever it may be, catching, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just one family down there. And I know these sound like the most cliche, politically correct answers, but it's the truth. And, you know, that's why this has been so special and so fun all year.
Well, this is I'm looking on my phone here. This is, you know, Danny Graves, right?
Right.
In the Reds Hall of Fame. This is what players back in the day, this is a superstition guy. I want to get your thoughts on that. This is crazy. He texts me what he used to do in the bullpen. He had to do the same thing. Innings one and top of two sunflower seeds. Bottom of the second, two pieces of bazooka gum. Innings three and four, some chaw. Bazooka
awesome.
In the fourth. Then he goes on and on, blah, 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 blah. Inning eight and on, or until I warmed up, two pieces of bazooka gum. Warm-up sequence. I'd throw five fastballs as hard as I could from the front of the mound with the catcher standing up. Only the bullpen catcher, never the backup catcher. Then tell him to get down. Three four seamers away, three sinkers, three curveballs, sinkers, sliders. I mean, it goes on and on. One four seam as hard as I could throw it, no matter where it goes, ready to go.
That's awesome. I don't have anything like that to report.
Nothing
That's incredible.
Down there.
That's awesome.
There's more to it too. He putting on his socks, there's like 23 steps.
That's awesome.
Which would wear me out.
I haven't gotten to meet him, but I watched his speech and I was honored to be there. It was incredible. He seems like the man.
Yeah, no, good dude. So there's no one that says I've got to throw to singly and only singly.
Well, I'll catch specifically Law and AY.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, even if we're double barreling or whatever, like, nobody really has any specific over the top preference.
See, times have changed. There were so many superstitious players back then.
Yeah.
Who is the toughest to catch warming up?
Graham Ashcraft. Not even close. No comparison.
See, I was thinking bullpen guys. I was going to get to the stars, but yeah. I mean, in spring training, no one would toss with him. No one would throw with him.
I'm happen to be the lucky guy there that throws at him all the time. And
because you would have shin guards on, right?
It
basically, no one would throw with him, and because it's not because they don't like Graham Ashcraft, it's because he throws a cutter at 97 or 98 and he doesn't know where it's gonna go all the time.
Graham is one of the best people you'll ever meet, and as far as the pitching goes, it's what makes him so nasty is, you know, his balls come at you really hard and it can move in any direction at any given time. You know, that's why catching a huge part in the receiving factor is anticipation. You know, you're anticipating certain shapes and the consistency of them. And there's a lot of lack of that consistency in when Graham's chucking it as far as the shape. And, you know, that if you can't catch it, you can't hit it. So,
well, I loved his spring training. It was Graham and Lodolo were throwing because Lodolo's not great to catch either. I'm sure that big sweeping breaking ball.
Right.
And then Lodolo said, I'm done. I've taken too many off my shins. I'm done. I can't throw with Graham anymore. So I look out there, and it's you tossing with Ashcraft with shin guards on.
Yep.
So he literally went through the entire pitching staff. No one would throw with him. It was left to you.
Yep. Yeah. And then I think we've thrown every day since then.
Yeah.
And it's been awesome, man. His stuff is so gross.
Isn't it?
It's so hard, and, you know, the four seam will cut or run and take off on you, and again, that's what makes him so nasty. But when you're catching it, it's like, wow, man, this is, especially when, you know, when he's on and you can tell he's on and kind of let him go a little bit. He's a little hot. It's coming
in. He gets fired up too.
It's coming in hard.
He gets ticked off. He does. I love that.
I love it.
He gets fired up. He starts talking smack to guys.
I love it. Which is
gesturing.
Yeah, which is ironic too. I mean, that is who he is, but also like, off the field, the people that don't know him is like one of the sweetest
such a
people
nice
you'll
dude.
Ever meet.
Just a down to earth southern dude.
He's the best.
Salt of the earth. Yeah. And he gets on that mound between the white lines, though, man.
It's war.
Jekyll
yeah.
and Hyde.
It's war. I love it.
This young starting staff in particular, and you're around, you get all the information, you get all the video, you get all the behind the scenes talk. How exciting can this group be going forward?
No, I don't think there's a ceiling for them. You know, I mean, you look at this year and, you know, the predictions that people put on the stat or on the team this year, on the whole organization, you know, everyone talking about last place and all these predictions, and you look at, you know, what they've accomplished already. I don't think that there's a ceiling or a measure you can put on it. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm just blessed and honored to be a part of it. So
could be three lefties in the rotation.
It'd be incredible.
That's
being incredible.
Not common.
No.
And three good ones.
Really good.
Not just to have a lefty, just to have a lefty.
Yeah, I mean, no, really good.
Yeah, Williamson has come a long way. How's his cutter looking?
Nasty.
I mean, that's a difference maker.
Yeah, fastball was up to 96, I think, the other day.
The veto's gone up, and the cutter has been a game changer for
him. Yeah. I mean, he's going to just continue to blossom, and I think all three of them are. And I mean, man, I'm just pumped.
How's Abbott get it done with that fastball? Have you caught his fastball? Why is it so special?
He can pitch. You know, obviously his
stuff.
And
he hides it, right?
Yeah, obviously his stuff is nasty, but he's just so calm and composed, and he can just pitch. You know, he can sequence well. He can dot up. But I think it's just so impressive watching him just maintain his composure. And he just goes out there and looks like he's been doing this for years. And, you know, watching him, you know, I think people can tend to forget that he is a rookie. I think I already forgot that already, just the way he handles himself and goes about his business.
It's like he's been around the game for 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, and just how composed he is out there. And he just goes right ahead and attacks. And it's really fun. It's fun to watch. He just lets it rip.
Awesome. What's it like catching a 100 green fastball? That's 100 plus.
Oh yeah, that's cheese. You know, it's fun though. I think, you know, I don't think about it because of how, you know, to me it's just Hunter, and you know, you're there, and I catch him a lot. He's one of the guys I'll throw with pregame. But man, it's cheese. Yeah. You know, I mean, think about, he threw 105. Was it opening day? I think.
Yeah.
Against McCutcheon. So goodness. So, I mean, again, there you go. We'll have him back. We'll have Nick back soon. I mean, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it really is. Backtracking to Abbott, I should ask you, who has a better stash, you or him?
Abbott? We'll go Abbott.
You're going to go Abbott?
We'll go Abbott.
I don't know. You got some pretty solid
Abbott's rocking
going on. Now, as far as the hair goes, though, I mean, you got him. I mean, what would you call this do of yours?
I think you can call it a mullet, I think, or a modern mullet.
Yeah, I was not going to go mullet because that's in my wheelhouse. When I was in high school and college, man, I was sporting pretty close to what going on. Oh, yeah.
Need a picture of that on air.
No, we don't need any. No one cares about me. Don't need any of those pictures out there. But, yeah, I was sporting. Then when I got out of college, I was going to the side like you are now, yeah. And it's long in the back, you know.
Yeah,
business in the front, party in the back.
Party in the back. Mine probably needs a little trim, but at Coastal, that's a football team and the baseball team there. We started to let it ride a little bit, just supporting each other, and it took off.
Yeah, I love it. All right, before I let you go, I want to talk about PitchCom because what I love, as you know, sometimes the PitchComs don't work. No, they, in my opinion, I don't need you to comment on this, but they need to overhaul the system. We've had too many failures. Hopefully that's coming down the road, and I'm sure they will. But you're in charge of each and everyone working, and Joe will come to be in the dugout and we'll play them. All right, this one works, right? This one works. This one works. Just to verify to someone, these work right now. So it's out of my hands once these players take them to the field, yeah. Which I love. I think that's hilarious. But Managing that pitch com, your voice is on it, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, give me an example. All right, I'm going to call a fastball down and away.
So they instructed me to give them deep and like loud and you know, really.
Did you put any voice you want on there?
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, all right, you got to make it deep. You got to make it clear. So, you know, I'm just sitting in spring training and out one night. And just I sound like Batman. It's hilarious. You know, it's four-seam fastball up and away.
That's what it is.
Yeah, or curveball down, and you know, it's funny. The guys hear it, and they initially were giggling because obviously it's me. But I think
I love that. See, I'm a Batman guy now, and I didn't know that you were imitating Batman on this.
Yeah.
All right, so give me some more of that curveball down and away.
Yeah, and they got
curveball down and away.
Yeah, just like that.
Two seam fastball inside.
So there's multitude of buttons you can hit. Pretty much. Like a video game, call whatever pitch you want, whatever location.
Yeah.
My voice is.
So that's folks. You just heard what the pitchers hear in their ear, or the catchers, or the position players. That's what they hear. They hear Joe Singley in their ear.
Yep.
Now, have you thought about messing with anyone?
No, not me. We had some.
I mean, like a spring training game. This would be a good gag.
Yeah.
Not in regular season, but a good gag of.
We thought about it in spring, and then
get it over the plate, idiot.
Yeah, we thought about having a couple buttons that said some things that you probably couldn't air.
This has to happen. Come on.
We opted out of it for the sake of putting just some more different options of pitch calling or plays on there.
Catchers requested like, "You're killing me! Throw a freaking strike!" That would be the message.
Not those exact words, but along the lines, I know some other teams they've got some, you know, buttons where.
Really? Like,
yeah, like
motivational types?
Yeah, there's something on there or, you know, get it down or get it over or something like that. I know there's quite a few.
They need to add some buttons, by the way.
Yeah.
They need to add some buttons. Make it just two or three more buttons.
I think there's 27 total options of audio messages that you have on there, but we take up them all with. With everything.
Just nothing. Different sequences. So who's ever calling it, and I think Derek Law is the only pitcher that calls his own pitches, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah, Derek Law and the late great Joel Kunal used to call his.
Yeah. So the catcher's got to know those sequences because there's only so many buttons. How many buttons are there? It's like a phone?
I think there's nine.
Nine buttons, yeah, sort of like a phone. So you got to have different sequences for those 25 different messages. So
I mean, there's little labels on there, but at this point, the guys have it all mapped out where I don't even think they look anymore. They just cover their glove up and they just hit it. So it's pretty neat. There's you select one button and another button, so it gives you pitch and location. And then there's also an option to hold down a button, which will give you something else. Yeah. So you've on each actual button, you've got two different audio outcomes. So, wow. Or three different.
All right, give us one more. Come on. Come on. As Batman, come on. Fastball down and away. Give me one.
Yeah, it goes four seam fastball down and away. So that's literally what you hear.
See, we just took you inside the cap. Inside the cap. and ears of a Major League Baseball player. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's
the voice of PitchCom, Joe Singley.
Yeah, we got over it, but initially it was pretty funny the first couple spring training outings here and that.
Because of your close relationship and those guys, you know, busting your chops all the time, which I'm sure they do, because again, you're in their age range, so it's different. I'm sure the first time they heard you, they had to get over that. That was a hump they had to get over. That Singley is in my ear.
Yeah, I think the hardest one to get over it was probably Hunter Strickland initially.
Why?
Yeah, him and I were pretty close. He's a good dude, and he just couldn't stop laughing the first couple outings that he heard that.
It's hard to see him laughing on the mound, though.
Yeah, no. None of this was
dude
actually
that looked mean.
Yeah, none of this was on the actual mound. Just you know, hearing it in the bullpen and everything.
Yeah,
he could flip a switch with the best of them.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I think we need to play a trick on someone though in spring training with the PitchCom. Just throwing that out there. I'm available for any. If you would not like it to be your voice, I'm available to give a voice to mess with someone.
That'd be funny.
That'd be a good TV bit too.
Yeah, it would be.
Hey, I appreciate the visit, man. And again, your journey is very unusual. In fact, it was fast, but you know, if you have talent and you have skills and you're a hard worker, man, things can happen in this world, particularly with social media and the way that you can just get to know a person that you wouldn't otherwise back in the day. I mean, this would have never happened a long time ago.
Right.
So the fact that you were on social media and making videos, that you had a following and people connected with, and then you connected with J.R. House and Tyler Stevenson, and you never know what's going to happen. You were on a major league staff, dude, at your age.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I know Pops is probably looking down. I'm very proud of you.
I hope so.
And once again, it's thesinglystrongfoundation.org.
Yep.
And then what's the night coming up?
September 5th.
September 5th. All right, look for it on TV, because when you guys are doing the lap around the field with those kids, it's going to be an emotional moment. So,
oh, yeah, that'd be sweet.
Looking forward to it, man. Lots of luck. What do you want to do in the future?
One day be a big league catching coach, a head one, you know.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm blessed soaking up all the knowledge I can get under JR's wing. And, you know, I personally would like to do that as long as I can, because I enjoy it, and he gives me some.
House is such a good.
Yeah,
dude.
He gives me some freedom.
How good is that dude?
Oh my goodness, he gives me freedom to work, but then also, you know, on and off the field, he's a really good figure for
he
me
is
in my
a
life,
good dude. I mean, he's one of the best dudes I've ever been around in my life. I mean, I love J.R. House.
Yeah,
love J.R. House, and it shows with the group you guys got, man. It's a really good group, despite Kurt Casale being a jerk. But, kidding, Kurt. I'm kidding.
Kurt, why are they always picking on you?
I love Kurt Casale. Well, he's always given me the business. I mean, you want to talk about someone riding someone? Wow, it's constant.
Ah, Kurt's a class act.
Love Kurt. Smart dude there.
Yo, Vanderbilt.
Smart dude.
Vanderbilt.
Oh, we're going to that Vanderbilt thing. He will be a general manager one day. Or if he wanted to be a manager, he could do that. Or whatever he wants to do in the game, he's going to attain it.
I believe it.
Yeah, because he's a really smart dude. All right, man. Thanks for hanging out. I appreciate it.
And thank you.
Thanks for putting up with me in the back of the bus.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You know, they put the peasants in the back, and that's where me and Joe are.
Oh, yeah. Last seat every time.
Last seat. Appreciate it, bro. Your story is incredible. And again, the Singly Strong Foundation.org. Please log on there and help however you can. It is a tremendous, tremendous cause. That's Joe Singly. We love bringing you the great stories here in baseball. And thank you for joining us here on the Jim Day podcast. And we will see you next time.